My lips touch you with their soft, wet kisses. Your hands gentle in reply. And the time will be our time. And the grass won't be no
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show. Thank you, Neil Diamond, for writing that, and thank you, Elvis, for singing that beautiful song. I forgot to do my news. Now, my news, of course, is very narrow, though I actually do want to talk about some bigger news. My news is about the things that go on in the world of BruceAllen.com. And first on the news is the new Because I Said So comic strip. It's called Dad Fills Out School Forms. I don't know about you, Mom and Dad, but the number of forms we have to fill out these days is absolutely ridiculous, not to mention all the different checks that we now are required to pay for, things that we used to get without even thinking about it in the past. Tonight at Dad Chat for local listeners. Now, Dad Chat is every Thursday. So if you're not listening on a Thursday and you're listening on a Sunday, that means you missed the one I'm talking about. But that doesn't mean you have to miss the next one. We're getting great sponsors at Dad Chat, so there's great prizes. But tonight at Dad Chat, we have a wonderful expert on money. Her name is Pam Whitlock, and she, in fact, will be my guest on this show in the next segment. And we're talking about money and our kids. Very big, very tough, very important topic. The new I'm Not That Dad vlog is called That City by the Bay, San Francisco. I've done two vlogs now about the Outside Lands Music Festival, and this is just about other experiences and things that we saw going and being in San Francisco for 6 days. I forgot, as I often do, because I just get off on a rant and a rave and I just get talking, to play a Dad's Point of View life lesson, and I think it is time to do so. So, Richard, if you would, please.
You got to action to with the positive ELMI. I need the negative. Latch on to the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In-Between.
All right.
You gotta spread joy up to the max.
I'm Bruce Allen, and this is A Dad's Point of View. A positive attitude is like a magnet. Don't we all prefer to be around happy, positive people? You know the answer. So why put your moods onto others? If you're in a poor mood, either hide it away or fake it. Yes, fake it. Act happy, act positive, and you're likely to actually feel that way soon enough. Positivity is magnetic. It feels good to be around positive, happy people. Since we all recognize and know that, then why put your sourpuss out there for public display? Be positive or be quiet. I'm Bruce Allen. You can find me at BruceAllen.com. And please, be the best dad or mom you can be.
Bruce Allen, that's one of you.
I always love when one of our life lessons, which are played in absolutely random rotation, relates to something that I intend to speak about or am speaking about. And the idea of a positive mood and putting on a happy face is something that I faced the opposite of recently when I took my sophomore son back to college to Boston. And I returned late last night. It was 3.5 days of mostly hellish times and ultimately a rapprochement between us, but there was a period where we were not happy with one another. And I've heard it often said that there's something built in our DNA that both parents and particularly young adults do, which is they create a conflict to make their independence a little bit more easy and simple, because if they're angry and upset, then they don't want to be back home and be reliant, and it helps them with their independence. Well, if that's true, that is what we both did. I will share responsibility. It began when I joined four other sets of parents, along with the five kids that are renting a house attending Berklee College of Music, and we found it to be quite disturbingly in bad condition. Three sets of the parents left, leaving another dad and I, and five kids that didn't quite see the dangers of only one door working, so there was not a second exit, no smoke detectors, no carbon monoxide detectors, a basement that was filled with cat feces and mold and mildew and stunk to holy hell, and basically nothing working properly. So it was a very intense period to work it out, to get the kids to recognize that the fun of independence would be really not so much fun if they got sick or, God forbid, there was a fire in the house and they were trapped. So it was a case where dads, me and another dad, had to step up and say things the kids didn't want to hear, do things that we didn't want to do. And ultimately, all the kids stepped up. My son got really upset at one point, very anxious at another point, and we weren't talking to each other briefly. But then yesterday we got together, made peace, as we often do, and I think he's going to have a really good year. Whether or not he stays the whole year was one of the things that we had been talking about prior to the housing thing. But it was definitely a trying experience. I've had a very busy month, and I must say that this particular trip was something that I will need a few more days to recover from. Now, one of the commercials you often hear on my show is for the book I wrote when I drove the same son to college to Boston last year, cross country with him. And one of the things that resulted from that trip is that I thought this is a cure for any empty nest blues that any parent might have. Just spend 8 days in a car with a teenage son who's controlling the radio, and you will be very happy to get back on that plane. And that is, in fact, what happened, though we didn't have anywhere near the degree of anxiety and conflicts that we did this time because we didn't have to face the real problems that we had to face this time. Last time he moved into a dorm, it was much simpler. But still, the crowds at the Bed and Bath there on move-in day in Boston were like things I've never seen. There are something like 300,000 college kids that all move in on the same couple, 3 days. And it is an intense scene, to say the least. Didn't help that the weather was very muggy, a little bit of rain. So it was quite the experience. And it also relates to something I heard on the news on the way up here, which is that the new jobs report has come out, and the CNN is reporting it as positive, but the reality is it's far from positive because CNN, of course, is not an objective news service. It's a biased one. Did you know that the millennials, who are the generation that are coming into jobs and college graduation and entering the workforce and are next generation of parents, God willing, and families, that 36% of that demographic, ages 18 to 31, live at home for extended periods of time or indefinitely. That's 26.1 million young men and women living at home. That number has evidently jumped by over 30% in the last few years. I don't know about you, but that's scary. And when I think about my own kids' futures, and I also observed that in the home they moved into were three guys living upstairs, and they were all college graduates. They were all in their 20s, and they were living in a relatively cleaner version of the rat trap that my kids had rented. They had renewed their lease, so they had finally gotten it together and acceptable. But three young men sharing a small one-floor unit with two or three bedrooms, probably because in a not great part of town, probably because that's what they could afford. All three worked at a company with a well-known company, a name's not important to mention. They were really articulate, bright guys. And in fact, I heartily suggested to my son that these are young men worth getting to know just because they are out on their own. But the ability to afford a car, to afford a house on your own, the ability to get married, have kids, all of these things are becoming scarcer, and Americans, especially of that generation, are afraid to make those commitments. They're risk aversive. And that was something that came out in a Wall Street Journal article recently. And it's very scary if you think in terms of young people not getting married because of money reasons or insecurity, young people not being able to buy a home, or even some of the basic things that a lot of us take for granted and having to really struggle and live in groups. This is sort of unprecedented that we have deteriorated in our economy and our development to such a large degree, and how poorly this is being reported. Anyway, we will talk more about money with our next guest, Pam Whitlock, after these messages. So stay tuned.
I like me, they struggle in doubt, trouble their mind day in and day out. They're busy a living to worry about a thing called love. But when I see a mother's tenderness as she holds her young close to her breast, then I thank God this world's been blessed with a thing called love.